all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today Brigadier General Retired Jack Hammond from the United States Army, but we're here to talk to him about Homebase, a veteran and family organization put together by the Red Sox Foundation and the Massachusetts General Hospital Program. General, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate being on the show today.
Well, I think it's a great program that you're affiliated with, which we want to talk about. But let's start. We always like to start with our guests. Tell us a little bit about how a nice kid from Massachusetts found himself in the U.S. Army.
Sure. Like a lot of folks, I think military is a family business. I grew up with a lot of uncles that were World War II, Korean, Vietnam veterans. And so having that exposure, I always knew at some point I'd be going in. And I wasn't smart enough to take an opportunity to go to the military academy when I had the option. And then 2 years later, I enlisted and then went to OCS.
Well, you got your Bachelor's of Science from the University of Massachusetts, and along the way you also picked up a Master's degree in Healthcare Marketing from Boston University and ultimately did a National Security Fellowship at Harvard University. So I think we can check off the smart enough box. So nicely done, General.
I'd like to get the Wayback Machine and have you go talk to Sister Morris Marie and straighten out a few things for me.
Yeah, there's a few of those folks who are old teachers who are rolling over in their graves. Can't believe you amounted to anything, huh?
That's right.
Well, you had quite an extensive career with tours as overseas at a number of assignments in Afghanistan and Iraq. But why don't you tell us a little bit about that military career, which spanned almost 30 years or so, I guess.
Sure. I think like a lot of folks enlisted in the early 80s, it was a peacetime army. A big worry was the Red Horde. And so I spent probably the first decade of my life training to fight the Russians in the Fulda Gap, like many people. And then as Desert Storm came out, really out of nowhere, as we all know, there was an awakening in the Army. We really saw, and it proved to the world, it was the best Army in the world when they dispatched the Iraqis in 6 days. And so, it's funny, for a lot of us that were in then, we hit a real high. But right on the heels of it, there was that immediate drawdown, and we all felt some pain there. But at the same time, those small things started popping up in Bosnia, Kosovo, et cetera. And so we started shifting our gaze towards low-intensity conflicts. For me personally, I got the bug on counterterrorism back in the mid-'80s through some operational assignments I had and some training. So it was kind of an interesting thing for me to follow. And then obviously when the attacks on 9/11 really sent my career in a different direction that I had never anticipated. And like a lot of folks, it was a seminal moment. And for a guy that was at the 18-year mark that thought I was going to leave the service without ever having a major operational deployment, the world changed.
Well, and I think so many of our listeners can relate to that. And that's one of the things that a military career allows or impacts you. Tell us what your last assignments were with the military.
Sure. Like I said, after 9/11, it really went into high gear, and I was in battalion command on 9/11. I immediately deployed troops on operational homeland security assignments at nuclear power plants, key installations, and then ultimately 7 U.S. airports. As that wound down, we received orders for Afghanistan in 2002. We deployed our battalion to 5 locations in Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Pakistan. As that wound down, we received orders to redeploy immediately as part of the invasion into Iraq. And, you know, having been on the second wave into Afghanistan, it was a fairly permissive environment. The first wave did the heavy lift there. That's when the Taliban was defeated. And so we shift from a semi-dangerous area to a full-blown invasion force. And again, in an operational army, in an expeditionary operation like that, there really wasn't much of a rule book in place, especially after the fall of Saddam. And when we got into phase four, you know, there wasn't a phase four plan really to speak of. And so we had to make it up as we went along. And a lot of people recognize the fact we were short troops at the time. That became painfully clear to me when I received orders to split my headquarters and form two battalions with one staff 100 miles apart. And so I had operations going on in the heart of the Sunni Triangle in Balad. And then I had a stand-up mission for counterinsurgency in Anbar province in Fallujah. And that was probably some of the worst fighting I was involved in my career. Returned home from that 18-month deployment. A little worse for the wear, but pretty proud of the service. Decided to stay in past 20. Was able to effectively serve in a couple assignments to include down in New Orleans during Katrina, and then a fellowship at Harvard, as you mentioned. And all those pieces and parts really set the success, set the conditions for a successful final deployment in Afghanistan, 2011 and 12, where I was the commanding general U.S. forces for Kabul province. And for someone who looked at that mission at the outset as something that was going to be fairly quiet compared to the previous deployments, we found out that wasn't the case because, as you can see today in Kabul still, the Taliban wants to demonstrate that the Afghan government can't even secure its capital. And so we had a mini Tet offensive where they attacked the U.S. Embassy and NATO headquarters were under attack for 18 hours. They blew up the Ministry of Defense, several hospitals, and four police stations all on in a couple-day period. And we had a mass casualty attack with about 17 people a month later. So it's a pretty complex deployment to finish up with. And then when I returned home, yeah, I had 31 years and made the decision to pack it in and take on new challenges.
Well, I think one of the things that, again, many listeners may not fully understand is that in a role that those final roles that you were serving, you were responsible for a lot of troops, a lot of men and women. Give us some sense of the size of that obligation.
Sure. As the CG of Kabul province, I had operational assignment responsibilities for all the U.S. forces in the province. But we also had attached Afghan forces, Mongolian forces, Bulgarian, Canadian. We worked with the Germans. So we had about 5,000 coalition troops, but we had about 10,000 folks that were on the different bases that we were responsible for securing and operating. And so it's fairly complex, especially when you factor in there were at least three-star and four-star commands that we had to support. And everybody's got a great idea on how you should do your job when you're working with a bunch of senior generals. So that can just be a giant pain in the neck because, you know, everybody's got a good idea.
Sure, sure. And I think really that sort of feeling the weight of that responsibility may play a little bit into the role that you currently have, which is working with Home Base, which is an organization that the Red Sox Foundation and Massachusetts General Hospital has put together to aid and assist our veterans and their family members. And I think somebody who was responsible for those veterans overseas probably has a real soft spot in their heart for making sure they get what they need here back at home. Tell us about Home Base and how you're involved.
Sure. And so you kind of hit the nail on the head. When I finished up that last deployment, I really got a good sense of the impact that multiple deployments and 15 years, you know, back then 10 years of war had on people. Some of my mid-level, mid-career and senior officers and NCOs, you know, I knew them on their first deployments. And, you know, they had 2, 3, and 4 deployments. And I saw the impact on them personally. I saw the impact on their kids. And the biggest challenge I think I saw was the fact that in 3 deployments as a commander, I had lost more troops when we returned home from combat than I had during combat. And the Army was seeing an unprecedented spike in suicides during active duty. And so I committed myself to the fact that no matter what I did, I'd find a role in a veteran service type program. Out of the blue, I got a call that the Red Sox were looking for somebody, and I threw my hat in the ring for this position. And fortunately had the great opportunity to serve in that role. At the time, the home base was one of the best regional outpatient clinics in the country. We've been able to build and grow this to the largest private sector clinic in America that sole focus is treating the invisible wounds of war, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and other mental health injuries affecting not only our veterans, but our active duty service members and their military families. And all that care is provided at no cost.
I think this is a great story that needs to get out to more people as we look at, you know, there's only about 1% of the population involved in the military these days safeguarding the country's liberties and freedoms. And the rest of society has got to do its bit for those folks who serve. And as executive director of Homebase, you're working with a couple of world-class organizations who are making this happen. Tell us some more about their commitment to our servicemen and their women and their families.
Sure. The idea began with the Boston Red Sox, and particularly one of the owners, his name's Tom Warner. His father was a D-Day warrior with the U.S. Army Air Corps. And after the 2007 World Series victory, like occurs every year, the Red Sox were invited to the White House that following spring in 2008 for a visit. They chose to go from there to Walter Reed Army Medical Center to share the trophy and the victory with the Wounded Warriors. The one-hour meeting lasted 5 hours. They couldn't get out of there. They didn't want to get out of there. And when they walked out that door, Tom Warner said, "We need to do something." And the Red Sox are the most philanthropic sports organization in America in any, any sport. They've been operating something called the Jimmy Fund since Ted Williams was there, and that's a program for kids with cancer. And they've expanded over the years. So Tom wanted to create something for veterans. He spoke with Ted Kennedy at the time, Senator Kennedy, and asked him where the area that needed the help was. And he said, the unseen wounds, the invisible wounds. He recommended they partner with Mass General Hospital, which is arguably one of the top hospitals in America and had the number one department of psychiatry. The hospital was brought in. They were invited to join. President of the hospital spoke to the trustees and said, "This will be the worst business decision we ever make. We're going to lose money like we read about, but it's the right thing to do." And they unanimously voted to support it.
Well, I think this is, again, one of these examples where we have to encourage more of our corporations, our successful businesses who have, you know, really a unique American opportunity to succeed, protected by our veterans, come together in partnership and do something that really makes a difference. Tell us the sort of programming that Homebase does for veterans.
So we have this amazing regional outpatient clinic that is just what you would think about for mental health and for traumatic brain injury, where you come in for an evaluation and then you return on a weekly basis for hourly appointments, couples therapy, you name it. We built upon that, though, and I took a strategic assessment when I first got there, and we tried to figure out how do we help people beyond the Boston area. And we looked for some partners. That was tough. And then we decided to build out the program and create something that didn't exist. So we developed a 2-week program our intensive clinical program that allows us to compress a year of therapy into 14 days. And through an amazing partnership with the Wounded Warrior Project, who helped, they significantly underwrite this effort, we now see veterans from every state in the union. And in just the last 18 months, we've seen them from 45 states.
And that's one of those things that, it really is amazing work. And I think at times there are veterans who are stuck. Maybe it's in a rural area. Maybe it's in a state that doesn't have an active military base, and they don't know what's available to them. So is home base, and are the programs associated with home base available to those types of veterans?
They are. And what's nice is, as we met with Wounded Warrior and we had our initial discussions 3 years ago, we discussed expanding this, and we identified three additional partners that helped replicate what we were doing. And so now we have UCLA in Los Angeles, Emory University in Atlanta, and Rush Medical in Chicago. And collectively, we've created a network of care called the Warrior Care Network. And we have the Wounded Warrior Project kind of running point as far as identifying people. So frankly, what happens is most of the patients contact Wounded Warrior Project. They vector them into the program. They identify which program is closest and a best fit for them on timing. And they can travel to any one of these four sites, and their airfare, lodging, meals, and care is all covered. So that works out great. Or they can reach out to these programs independently, directly. Do you know what I mean? So it's one of two ways to get in, but you either contact direct or you reach through the Wounded Warrior Project.
One of the other things that I noticed in doing some research on home base is your geographic reach is not only specifically up in the Northeast, but you have a very active program as well down in Southwest Florida. I assume that's affiliated with some of the spring training that the Boston Red Sox are engaged in.
That's correct. And so, as you can imagine, what we do is quite expensive, and since we don't charge people for it, and we have some of the best doctors in America, our philanthropy requirement is pretty significant. And like many organizations, in the winter, you go to the South, and there's a community in right near Fort Myers, JetBlue Park, called Naples, Florida, where there's a significant number of billionaires that go for winter every year, and a lot of folks go fundraise there, which we did as well. But it kind of left me with a funny feeling because we were taking out of the community and not giving back. And we have a great American icon and leader, General Fred Franks, who's a Vietnam vet, lost his right leg in Vietnam. And he ultimately led the 7th Corps during Operation Desert Storm as the commander, defeating the Iraqis in 6 days. General Franks has been on our honorary advisor since the inception of the program, and he lives in Naples. And he asked us, gave us a charge and said, we got to do something down here. And we partnered with the Red Sox and developed a warrior fitness program that helps bring veterans from all eras together. And we have a strength and conditioning coach, a nutrition coach, a sleep hygiene coach, and a mental skills coach that work with them on improving their overall wellness and reconnecting them with other veterans in a positive lifestyle. What's great about this program is for folks that need a little more care with this 2-week program, we can then put them on a plane, bring them to Boston, get them the help they need, and then return them back to that community where there's a community of veterans and people that are actively supporting them.
Well, I think it's a great idea because it's that one little extra, that wellness and fitness, where some folks don't maybe think, well, I'm not sick, don't tell me that, but yeah, maybe I'm not in the shape I ought to be in, and maybe these other activities. It's sort of this transitional bridge, I suspect, for some folks. And as you say, that connecting back into their veterans and their buddies probably makes a real difference in their outlook. So it's a very interesting program where you also cover things like nutrition, I see.
Yes. And so you're spot on, and you're onto something that you're going to probably hear more about in the next couple of years. There's a lot of folks that have a sort of a minor mental health major transition issue when they return home. And that's because, as you pointed out a moment ago, half of 1% deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan and places like that today. So when these guys come home and these gals come home, there's not that community of veterans to just connect with. And so that's a challenge. So by giving them an opportunity to reconnect, that helps their mental health significantly, just to be with fellow veterans. And then the second piece to it is, if you can get them connected back to good physical health by getting them into a good physical fitness program, you can solve some of the minor depression issues that can associate with someone with a little depression funk after they come home from the service. As you know, you come back from something that you're in a purpose-driven environment doing something probably the most exciting thing in your life, and you get home and then you can't find a job, you're stuck on the couch. It can be tough for these guys.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of discussions with people in that space and other experts in that space. Once again, I think we all can recognize that problem, and I think you've got at home base some solutions for it. We're talking to Brigadier General retired Jack Hammond, who's the Executive Director of Homebase, which is a organization with the Boston Red Sox Foundation and Mass General Hospital that has a really unique program now around the country through some affiliates and networking. But, General, tell us, how do people learn more about Homebase?
Well, the best way is to go to our website. It's homebase.org. And you can kind of look at the wide breadth of programs. We've looked at everything from light touch programs that we call our adventure series, where we'll work with different places like ski resorts, baseball parks, whatever, to just give us a bunch of free tickets so we can bring 100 or so veterans and military families together just to have a good time and reconnect to the fitness programs. We also developed, in partnership with the Benson Henry Institute for Mind Body Medicine at MGH, a resiliency program that focuses on stress reduction and anxiety reduction. Huge thing for us, because a lot of folks didn't have that traumatic event over in Iraq or Afghanistan, but they had sustained 12 months of stress and anxiety based on insider attack potential or rocket attacks. It didn't hit them, but they could have happened any night in their sleep. And so learning to manage their stress and anxiety is huge. And the Benson Henry program that developed into our War to Care program is something that Mass General's been using for years now for cancer patients and cardiac care patients with great success. So we developed that and integrated it. And then finally, obviously, our clinical care for traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress, through that two-week program, we integrate all of the above along with heavy clinical training in both those areas.
Well, it's a great program. We want to recommend it to our listeners. Go look at homebase.org to get more information and how to stay in touch. There's a newsletter you can sign up for. There's a way to contribute to help financially, because these are always expensive endeavors. General, I want to thank you for taking a little time on your travel schedule today to talk to Veteran Radio.
Thanks, Jim. And again, I want to apologize to the veterans for the background noise today, but I wanted to make sure we got this call in.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.